This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about mass shootings. That's one of the things that we're going to discuss today. Because when the world looks at the United States, they are puzzled by the many, and I say many, many mass shootings. Now, we all know that we have shootings, and a lot of the shootings are, well, a lot of the victims are children. Unfortunately, it didn't used to be that way, but somehow or another, we've kind of got twisted, and some speculate that American society is usually violent, or its racial divisions have frayed the bonds of society, or its citizens lack proper mental care under a healthcare system that draws frequent derision abroad. So we know that we did have a really nice mental health situation, but I've forgotten what governor, what nice governor that was, that closed up the mental institutions. So I'm assuming that the people that had issues, he didn't care if they got healing or not. So unfortunately, that's what's going on, and we still don't. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that because I really don't know. But I do know that Americans make up about 4.4% of the global population, but own 42% of the world's guns. And from 1966 to 2012, 31% of the gunmen in mass shoots worldwide were American, according to a 2015 study by a professor at the University of Alabama. And adjusted for population, only Yemen has a higher rate of mass shootings among countries with more than 10 million people. Yemen has the world's second highest rate of gun ownership after the United States. And if mental health made the difference, the data would show that Americans have more mental health problems than people in other countries with fewer mass shootings. So right now I'm going to introduce my co-host, Mr. Coleman. Are you there?
Good evening, Jenny White. I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. TGIF, how are you doing?
TGIF to you as well. But I'm just thinking about all these mass shootings. And it's seemingly now they are, I don't know, young people and people of color for sure. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that this isn't necessarily a new phenomenon. I think that it's something that's been going on, and you know, normally the people that are doing these mass shootings aren't people of color. We have had people of color that have done mass shootings, like the sniper in Maryland. Generally, you hear about mass shootings like Colorado or Newtown. Then you think of Caucasian people. I mean, not even Muslims are going around, not in this country, just randomly shooting people because they got fired from their job or anything like that. So I think that, you know.
Well, when you mentioned that, excuse me, and then you finish, but is that the reason why that shooting went on?
Shooting went on
in what was that? Not Fed. Was it FedEx or UPS?
Yes, FedEx.
Is that the reason?
I don't know that they've come out with a reason. I haven't heard of
okay.
a motive behind that shooting. So I'm not sure.
Wasn't he mentally ill?
I don't know any stats on that. You know, I saw a little bit of the press conference earlier, but they didn't have a whole lot of facts. And so I really can't speak to that. All I know is that the shooter was supposed to have committed suicide.
Right.
And eight people were, you know, killed in that assault.
Killed.
Yeah, so as far as the number of it, you know, there were others that were injured. And the reason behind that, I'm not sure. I'm sure the facts will come out.
You know, most of the time when they start shooting up factories and, you know, workplaces, it has something to do with maybe they got fired or they were upset with one of their coworkers or something. I don't know. I hadn't heard anything more about that. But what do you think about all these shootings, it's really kind of hard to say, but so many people of color are being killed. And it doesn't seem that it's slowing down.
You say people of color are getting killed in what, these mass shootings?
Yes.
Well, I don't know about those stats. I'm not aware of that.
Well, I'm sure they're in it at some point. I mean, if they're in a building. Outside of the buildings. Take, for instance, the 13-year-old young man who just got killed.
You talking about mass shootings or just shootings in general?
Well, shootings in general. I guess I should have said that.
Well, yeah, shootings of unarmed black people, yeah, that's a different topic. But, yeah, I mean, that's very unfortunate. That's nothing new. It seems to be picking up speed, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the police might be a little pissed that they're, you know, being held to account. So they're going to get as much, they're going to take it out on as many people as they can before you know, some legislation is put forward that's going to really tie their hands and they're going to really have to, like they're supposed to, for all people.
Well, you know, a lot of the police are KKKs and white supremacists. And for some reason, they feel that, you know, they can just shoot you. And
yeah,
they can get away with it.
Well, the shooter in the Minnesota Black Lives Matter, movement this summer, Kyle Wright Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old, maybe older than that now, 18-year-old white guy that lived in, I think he lived in, with, well, he lived in Illinois, I believe, and went to Minnesota and ended up killing those two people.
Are you talking about the young man that the actor went and put his gave him bail so he could get out?
Yeah, they just they did a, it was a computer hack that showed that cops and politicians had been giving to his justice, his defense fund. So it was, you know, people that were identified that I'm sure wanted to be anonymous.
You mean the one who paid his bail?
Yeah, I'm talking about the young man that shot the two people at the Black Lives Matter march.
Right.
And then went back to Illinois.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
there have been cops and politics.
What you're saying is that the actor wanted to be incognito?
I'm talking about more than the actor. I'm talking about cops and politicians. Not the actor.
Oh.
I'm talking about cops and politicians have been donating to his defense fund.
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, let me ask you this. Do you think Caucasians are afraid that they're becoming a minority?
Yeah, I believe white people are afraid of a black planet. You know, the planet is the population's getting darker and darker, and, you know, I believe by the year 2050, I can't remember which one, there, white people will no longer be in the majority. So, of course, right now, they are doing everything that they can to change these voting laws and things of that nature so that they can continue to control, you know, the laws and politicians, even though they'll be in the minority, even though they'll probably, you know, they'll be in the way that they've gerrymandered these districts and now putting in these voting laws, they're really trying to make it difficult for black people and people of color, black and brown people, to vote. And because they're afraid they won't win any more races. And they're probably right, because they're not interested in doing any legislation, or they're not, the GOP is
not
interested.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they're not interested in diversifying their party to include others.
Not,
you know, they're
at
happy
all.
With it. Yeah, they're happy with it just the way it is, and they like to cheat their way to elections and staying in power. So, I mean, it is what it is, and we just have to, you know, the other people that really want to maintain a democracy and fair elections have to act accordingly.
Well, did you see where this, I guess he was a senator, jumping all over Dr. Fauci and asking him, you know, when will we be able to be like we used to be? And, you know, they're blaming the pandemic on Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, well, they're stupid, you know, and
that doesn't make any sense.
Smoke screens and distractions. That's Joe Jordan.
Yes, that was his name.
Yeah, so, but, you know, Dr. Fauci checked him, you know, and put him in his place. And then when Joe Jordan's time ran out, Maxine Waters, the chair of that committee, you know, pretty much told him to shut up. I mean, ain't nobody scared, and everybody's tired.
The Republicans are.
You
they're
say what?
Afraid. The Republicans are.
Afraid
they're
of
afraid.
What?
They're afraid of losing their power.
Oh, of course they are. That's why they're doing everything they're doing.
Well, I think I read somewhere that some people still believe that Trump is the president and that April 25th will prove it. So it might be similar to what they were saying about January the 6th. I'm not sure.
Well, I haven't
but
heard anything about the 25th.
I think I read that. Yeah.
But yeah, they're still perpetrating a big lie.
I mean, how could they? Well, I don't know. Never mind. Okay, let's take a break. And, okay, caller, I'll get back with you. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. If you have a question or you would like to make a comment, just press the 1 on your keypad. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work. But what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
And we're back.
Okay, and we're back. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. We're talking about all these mass shootings, but we're adding if you have something in particular that you would share with us, you're welcome. Right now we have a listener. Listener, your name, and where are you calling from?
This is TC from Detroit.
Hi, TC from Detroit.
Yeah,
from Detroit.
Was over here. I think a lot of the, you know, one of the biggest problems I think that we have about really the Republican Party is because of the Democrats, because they're not putting out a method that would counter some of the stuff that the Republicans are putting out there. You know, talking to a person, I'm trying to get them to let me get with the people in Lansing, because You know, there's a really short story that would really put all this stuff together. If you go back to 1995, when Donald Trump was talking to Dick Cavett on the Dick Cavett show, and Dick Cavett asked him, he said, would you ever think about running as for president of the United States? And Donald Trump said, He said, well, if I ran, I have to be a Republican because they're too dumb to figure out what's going on. Right? And then if you go on through there, what Donald Trump said, don't believe what you see with your eyes. Believe what I say.
And right? They do.
And they do. But I'm saying, where are the commercials or whatever you want to call it, communications, that counter all the stuff that the Republicans are putting out? You never hear about that on TV. You don't see slashes about that. I mean, it is just so ridiculous.
You know what, though? I wonder if it would make a difference if those dummies would understand that he called them dummies.
Wait a minute. Not only that, he told them what? Don't give your money to the Republican Party. Give it to me.
Well,
now,
it seems like they've been doing it.
If you can't string a story through that, I mean, you're in bad shape. You know, because I was...
How do we get the word out?
Before, I don't know. I've been trying. Always keep me a pair of White Sox balled up. So when I throw it at my TV, when I hear the Democrats talking, it won't mess up my TV.
Oh, that's funny. You don't want to hurt television.
No,
so
I got to pay
for it. Right.
That's so funny. What I'm saying is there's no message coming from the Democratic Party, period. What's coming from the Democratic Party about Donald Trump and the way they're following? You cannot think of, matter of fact, if it wasn't for the Lincoln Project, Donald Trump would be president today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Democrats have been weak and passive for a long time, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
So, I mean, right now, you know, they've tried to grow some kahunas with, you know, impeaching Donald Trump twice. And then, you know, you've got the more progressive young liberals such as AOC and mm-hmm. as they put it, her squad. Out there and outspoken, you know. So that's going to have to be the Democratic Party of the future that's willing to play hardball and fight fire with fire. You know, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight. And the Republicans don't play fair. They're surgical. They stick together. And they're all on message, you know. That's something that some lessons I think the Democrats have to learn. But then, you know, you have Democrats that are really conservative Republicans as well, such as Joe Manchin, which is, you know, out of 50 senators, you know, he's the lone senator that's holding up a lot of this legislation that Biden's trying to pass.
Is that that old man?
Old man,
yeah.
I don't know how old he is.
Yeah,
he's old.
He's in his 70s.
Yeah, they're all old, white man.
Yeah.
But
you know,
but Joe Man.
Someone had stated that this is his last shot at glory, you know, because if it wasn't for him, you know, nobody would know his name. So now he's getting all the recognition he wants because he's the only one that's holding up stuff. So now he's important. He's the most important person in the Senate as far as a Democrat. Not that he's done so much. Really, I doubt if you can name two things, and I think he's been there about 20 years. You can't name two things he actually, you know, submitted, you know, for a law. So, but now, like I said, there's like one person finally finds out that he's important. you know. And now
because he went against Biden, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're the last one to go for anything, you have to be. If it's a 50-50 tie, if you keep staying being the last person, hey, they got to do what you want. You can say whatever you want or whatever, but you don't have to do anything. But like I said, once a lot of the Biden things get passed, he's going to probably drop off because ain't nobody going to know who he is because he's actually from a Republican state, you know. So, you know, everybody's looking for their 15 minutes of fame.
Well.
Yes, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's just like when Obama was in office and had the majority, and he still couldn't get things passed because even though they were Republicans, they were white men, and they still held some of the things he wanted to do up when he had the majority as well. So I think race trumps everything at the end of the day, you know, whether you are Republican or Democrat. I think that in some instances it comes down to black and white.
That's
and
true.
In some instances, you know, who's going to benefit from this legislation because, you
right.
know, they want everything to, you know, they didn't have a problem when Trump passed that $2 trillion tax bill that benefited the rich and the billionaires.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As they say, the billionaires have made $300 billion, you know, in the past few years, you know. So it's time to get some to the common people, you know. But I'm sitting here wondering if the stimulus checks and things of that nature are causing a problem with the workforce. You know, I work in healthcare.
Right.
And now we
right.
have a shortage of certified nurses.
Laborers.
That, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
certified nurses aid that are in demand, you know, and they make less than, they make about $15 an hour, you know, less than 20. And so, you know, for sure they qualified for all the stimulus. So, you know, I know we were looking to hire a couple aides and actually had hired them, you know, and then one said she had to go to Arizona on a trip and, you know, and then the other one was making excuses why she couldn't come to work. And, I mean, it's just a different time right now. I had gone to Little Caesar's Pizza one day to pick up a pizza and the young lady behind the counter told me she couldn't take my order because they were behind because two people had walked off their job. I said, huh?
Oh, wow.
Two people left, you know. And so she ended up taking my pizza order, you know. I'm just looking for a $5 pizza, you know. And so she took it, I paid for it. And I had to wait 20 minutes for the pizza, you know. But and then while I was waiting, there was another man out there who said he had gone to Burger King. And Burger King had to close because they didn't have enough staff.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, so it's like, okay, something's going on. Now, what it is, I can't put my finger on it or pinpoint it, but, I mean, you know, I don't know if that's in correlation to all this stimulus money that's flowing. And
well, the unemployment is supposed to stop. That's what they were saying. It's going to stop.
It's all going to stop at some point.
I
think it's September the 9th it's supposed to stop.
Okay. So I guess that's when people will go back to work. Well, I don't know. In the meantime,
I wonder why they don't want to work and get the check, too. I mean, there's so many things that they could do. Well, whatever. Okay.
Well, but you got to remember, they get the stimulus check, then they get the $300 or the $400 on top
unemployment.
Of regular unemployment. Right.
But then they get the check, the tax for the child credit as well. I think that's
right.
Like that's almost $1,400 a child, you know.
It is the same amount.
You can make more money. You can make more money being at home than you can work.
I think that's what has happened.
Yeah, you can make more money being at home right now. You don't have to work. Why work when you're making more money?
I don't know. Just
you know,
I don't know. Some people are like that.
I think a lot of these bill collectors are trying to collect on some of their past due bills right now because of this stimulus money floating through the system. I guess they feel that you could pay your debt right now.
Well, I don't know what they're doing with it. I know one person who said they paid two of their debts off because of the
credit cards.
Yes. Mhm. They used the money wisely.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
I have another
listener.
Hi, listener. Where are you calling from?
How are you
this
evening?
I'm fine.
Hi,
how are you?
Okay.
Big Z.
To our co-host and our guest.
Hello.
What was that?
Hello.
Tommy.
Can you hear me?
How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're being heard.
Yes, I can hear you.
I wanted to add my 2 cents to the comment.
Okay.
When you look at the problems that we are facing here, what I can see, I heard someone say years ago that there are national character. No matter whether you're black, white, or whatever, when you get to America, our national character is that we are anti-authority and we are racist. That is our national. It comes out. The land of the free, and if we can do what we want. You know, our Constitution, ideally, gives you rights. A lot of these people in other countries do not have. They have rights. They want to enjoy those rights. They can get an education and things of that nature. I was interested when I looked at the Tuskegee Airmen, this last one with the call, the Red Tails, and it was interesting to know how coming up, you know, through the South, black people, like, they believed in God, they worshiped the Lord, all of this. But when they started to get education and they feel that they have this right and that right, you know, they began to question their belief in God. In other words, I don't believe there's all supreme power. In other words, we started taking on the, if you want to call it, the way that white people think. In other words, we became more anti-authority. Not even God had the right, you know, to control our lives, like we used to believe. Like grandma and them coming up from slavery, trusting in God to make it through the day. We got that, you know, as we got educated, we started to embrace a lot of the ideologies that belief in God, you know, like I think it was Vernon Jordan that made a statement. He said, we believe in not only heaven and hell, you know, where he put it. He said, but right here, we want justice right here. That became more important than making it to heaven, so to speak. You know, it changed. The educational part started us just questioning more things, you know, and then they said, well, that's just the white man's religion to keep us down. And in some ways, it was used that way. But the more and more we live or we educate, we become anti-authority. We have our rights. We have our rights here. We have our rights. Ideally, we're supposed to have those rights. And then another thing, we're racist. We picked up, I have heard even a lot of the Africans, they say a lot of times when black people go to Africa, that we act like we're over them because we come from America. We have that attitude that a lot of times white people have a display, their character, that white people display when going to Africa, you know. They complain about that. So it's something about the way we see ourselves as a country. And I believe that's one big problem that we have here. We have a lot of, we're just anti-authority. We're not going to take anything from anybody. You know, I don't feel like I have to take it from you. Yeah, I have my rights.
I think that, you know, you can see that, I don't know, that I agree with that so much with black people as I do with white people. And
it's even more so, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, they can't stand their rights being infringed on, you know, especially with this pandemic and the mask and laws and not being able to congregate in the bars and restaurants like they want, you know, they're losing their mind.
Yes. They really are.
They're losing their mind. And so,
But our young people are doing that also. You know, they don't want to fit home and mask up, and they feel like they have their rights too. And, you know, well, hey, death is going to be out there anyway, so might as well go out there and have a nice time, you know, instead of trying to, you know, to become obedient. The word obedience, you can forget it. It's not even in the vocabulary anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of people also feel, you know, black people feel that in some instances that, you know, the Bible was changed in a way to control black people.
That's
you know,
what it is, yeah.
Love thy enemy. Okay, you know, love thy master, you know, or if your enemy does something to you, to, you know, turn the other cheek so, you know, he can smack you on that cheek too, you know. And then, it's, you know, people talk about how quick black people are to forgive when we're wrong, like, you know, our children are murdered, or not even our children, but, you know, we're being murdered at the hands of the police, and black people being so quick to, you know, forgive their killers, even to the point where the white off-duty police officer killed Botham John in Dallas in his own apartment, and then you had the judge. Was it the attorney that was, you know, playing in her hair, and the judge came down and gave her a hug, and then the brother, Botham John's brother, was talking about how he forgave her, you know.
And he
like,
hugged
okay.
her too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, really?
But we are.
I mean, you know, I don't see white people as being so forgiving. You know, I think
they're not.
I think, yeah, I think that. I mean, even to the point where, you know, you look at, and I mean, I've got a book called Beyond Sanctuary, which is a book of lynchings. And so it has pictures of lynchings throughout the years, where you know, females and men and women have been thrown over bridges and hung. People have been hung and dismembered. Men have been castrated. They've been burned.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've got all these pictures. And then you see this crowd of white people posing, at this.
Yeah.
Event,
right.
At this event.
Right.
And so you see how devilish Farad Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad called the white people devils, you know, you can see why they're called devils, because if you look at those devilish activities and events, you know, people, you know, you've got thousands and hundreds, of people posing around someone has been lynched or lynched and burned, you know, or things of that nature. And it continues today, you know, even the bombings in Birmingham.
Oh, yes.
I was looking at a picture, a show on TV in 1981. A young black man was hung from a tree in a neighborhood, and it just so happened, you know, Ku Klux Klan members stayed across the street, and it just talks about the way the investigation went. You know, one black man, I don't know if he was from the NAACP, came in and just took a bunch of pictures of people that were standing around, and they showed a picture of them. Hanging from the tree in broad daylight from a distance. And so when they went and analyzed these pictures, you know, and they saw that some of these people were Ku Klux Klan people, and, you know, it took some years for them to, you know, really start investigating. I think it may have taken over 20 years because they had to reopen the case, or the FBI gave the case to somebody else, and he started going through it and re-interviewing people, and then at that point people started talking, and so I think, I don't think I saw the end of it, but at that point, you know, it was, they were getting somewhere, but this was 15 to 20 years after this young man had been hung and killed, and nobody had been, you know, convicted of these crimes. So I think black people have had years of trauma, and right now I think, you know, we're really tired, and we have to have someone who's going to carry the mantle. Because, you know, the people that are in their 70s and 80s, you know that they can no longer do it. You know, so someone like the Black Lives Matters, you know, has to be able, some organizations have to be able to have a coordinated event, even when it comes down to boycotting, you know, because these corporations were threatened to be boycotted in Georgia before they spoke out. You know, Delta and a couple other corporations, and now, you know, we've had over 72 black CEOs and leaders who signed a paper in support of doing something about the legislation in Georgia, and then it got to the point where these corporations took out a full-page ad in the New York Times denouncing all the restrictive you know, racist legislation, yeah, to prevent, you know, suppress voting.
Well, they're
rights.
Doing
so,
that. You do know they're doing that in Michigan too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get something going.
Yeah.
So that
true.
We can
it
vote.
Is, yeah. It's the one thing about it,
federal law.
Go ahead.
You know, the federal law, that's going to test what the, I think it's H.R. 1 is about it, if I'm not mistaken.
H.R. 1, yeah.
Given, making the playing field even across all states.
If they can get it passed, yeah.
Yeah, if they can get it passed. But that's going to be the problem. I think it was Martin that said power is never given up freely. So, you know,
yeah,
if you look at,
no,
where,
not, yeah,
if you go back, like the young lady was saying about the world, I'll say back in, like, in the 60s, when I was going down south with my mom and everything, I mean, black people were so disenfranchised that, you know, you couldn't do anything. So it wasn't a fact that they stopped living in Christ or whatever, but the only thing that was the only thing they had. As my mom worked from Mississippi, the only time they had a good time was on Sunday going to church. They know they get a chance to meet somebody else, or else 6 days a week they out there, you know, doing their field, even if it's their own, you know. So you were actually limited to what you do. As you go up to the 60s, we didn't even have movies open until 6 o'clock on Sunday. All the stores were closed. Everything was closed there.
Yeah.
So all,
wow,
of a sudden, you get a chance.
You know what? I remember when they used to do that on Sundays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Respect. Yeah.
And you couldn't buy any alcohol.
Right. Couldn't buy alcohol or cigarettes. Or you had to get it the night before.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. Oh, man.
Know, so the disenfranchised of the black race has been there from the beginning. And so, as you know, like anything, if you know, I like strawberry ice cream. But if I eat it all the time, you know, it gets to be like, what, blase, 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 you know. So when all of a sudden black people had a chance to actually, you know, get out and find that there's more than just the farm. I remember my mother saying, she said, I never in my life thought somebody would pay me for sitting down.
Yeah.
I was too retired. you know, that was the thing that somebody was going to pay you while you were sitting down not working. Because they worked from sun up to sun down. And matter of fact, she had seven brothers, and none of them, soon as they got old enough to leave Mississippi, they were gone and didn't even want to come back.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those chain gangs on the side of the road when you'd be driving around here. Everyone, if they see a black person come, they get to wave. They'd be so happy to, you know, to see them. It was a different world. I was 8 years old when we had caught the train down in Mississippi. Now, when you get off the train in Mississippi, you had a white waiting room and a black waiting room. The white waiting room had, they didn't have air conditioning, but they had some giant fans that kept that cool breeze from going through there, right? Super cool breeze flying. And the black side was so hot, you just want to stand outside in the sun. But they had I told Mom, I said, we're going over there to the side where it's cooler. My mother said, you touch that door.
You could literally get killed in Mississippi for going on the white side.
Because
all it took was one white person to say you did it. I don't care if it's a million black people out there saying he was with us.
Makes no difference. So you can see why change has happened, and you can see why black people are, you know, we're getting used to what other people always have, but we were, you know, denied of. So, you know, but most importantly is this is the first generation that hasn't, well, almost the first generation that never been to church before.
All right.
Have no clue
right.
what church is all about.
And then this pandemic hasn't helped.
Nope.
Oh, it's yeah.
You know. But what did the parents used to say? Go outside and don't come back in until it gets dark. And they were sitting in the house just relaxing, thinking about how good it was that we were outside.
Well, you know, technology plays a large role in that as well.
Yeah.
And then the further we get away from the civil rights movement, because I was born in 64, so I was born right in the middle of it. So I grew up with the rights and benefits that came right after the civil rights movement, you know, with the more freedoms and advantages that blacks had. So I didn't see, and especially growing up in Detroit, you know, one of the most segregated cities in the country, you know, we still had racist cops because the police force was predominantly white in the 60s and 70s, you know, until Coleman Young came in and started, you know, integrating more black officers. You know, so we were sheltered from a lot of the things, you know, at least in the 70s and the 80s that we may have been experiencing in other parts of the country. You know, and so saying that, I think that because of technology, a lot of, you know, children believed that all men were created equal, you know, especially if they went to school. Because, you know, my daughter, you know, my youngest daughter longed to be into a school that was more diverse. You know, she wanted to be in school with white children, you know, in the suburbs. And so, you know, we were kind of like, okay, slow your roll. You know, we get all that. But first of all, we want to give you the best education and we want you to have the best experience because, you know, we don't want no issues with race where, you know, we got to be coming up to the school because, you know, somebody said this. And dealing with somebody's parents because it ain't, you know, and then it ain't going to end nice. And then, you know, the police going to get called and, you know, of course they going to jam you up. You know, they going to jam the black person up because you're guilty until proven innocent. So
that's true.
you know, wasn't nobody looking for those type of issues, just, you know, just so your daughter could have this experience that she didn't know anything about. You know, it's like, okay, you know, we're just trying to prepare you the best we can so when you get out there, you know, you can kind of see for yourself what's going on. But with this Black Lives Matter movement, with this police reform going on right now, I think that we are in a time, well, we are definitely in a time of change in the middle of this pandemic, where this is the time, like they say, to strike while the iron's hot. We have to reform the police department because the police has been formed and the culture has been to control black and brown people. And I think part of all these killings of black and brown people is mind control. I mean, I think it's to make us afraid of the
police.
Right. You know, to make us afraid that Karen's going to, you know, call the police on us in the park because we're barbecuing.
Right.
You know, watch where we drive, and, you know, so some places you don't want to be after dark, you know, that type of thing.
I know that's right.
There's a lot of things that are unsaid, but it's, you know, what's understood needs not
need to
be explained.
You just know that.
Well, do you remember when Dearborn at 6 o'clock, basically, if you're in a mall, they tell you it's time for you to go?
I don't remember, but I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, they used to announce when Fairlane was first built out there. But I think it was either 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you know, it was time for you to leave.
Yeah, it's
in the daytime, right? But you want to make sure you're gone by the time you get started.
Right.
You know.
I mean, it's a show out right now on Prime. It's streaming on Prime, and it's called Them. And,
yes, I heard about. Oh, they said that is scary.
Well, not only
that's
scary,
what Whoopi
but, you know,
said today.
Really, I mean, it
yes.
has some scary components, but it's talks about racism, and it talks about, I guess, in the 40s when 6 million people left the South and migrated away to the Midwest and the West. This particular family left North Carolina driving to Compton, California, which at that time, Compton, California was all white. And the show is based on 10 days of this black family living in Compton and 10 days of what the white neighbors
harassed them,
planning and plotting, yeah, to get them to move.
Like the
so
man over
four.
Here?
I'm
like the man that put
of,
his Confederate flag in his window so his neighbor across the street could see it.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of people riding around with Trump Pence bumper stickers on their cars.
You know, Pence,
I mean,
he had a heart issue.
Or a pacemaker or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, some people, you know, right. Yeah, he liked the scarecrow.
Right.
Was the scarecrow looking for a lion? Scarecrow was looking for a brain.
Yes. he's just all those things.
Where
right.
are we going
need
down
all.
The golden road?
Yeah.
Yellow brick road. Right.
Yeah.
But one thing the young lady mentioned about the Tuskegee Airmen. Well, most people don't realize, you know where Sulphur Dare that cigar base is on 21 Mile
yep.
and I think it's Unica? You know that the
yep.
Tuskegee Airmen, were not when they landed at Sulphur, they were not allowed to go into town. They had them. They were inside a gate.
Oh man, I never heard that story.
Yeah, the Tuskegee Airmen. They could not come off the base, off that base.
These were black ones, right?
Yeah, that's
Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, the black.
Yeah,
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't ask that question again on the air, Jenny.
Okay.
Yeah, you would really be. Yeah, you're supposed to know that, right?
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, I want everybody to know it.
Oh, okay. As a matter of fact,
okay.
when I was in service, and I had to go in order to become a master sergeant, I had to go down to the Air Force training. Air Force training something down in Tennessee, right? So in order to become a master sergeant stripe, you have to pass that course. So they said, okay, what you going to write about? I think there was maybe about 5 or 6 blacks and about maybe, I don't know, about 100 or 2 white people. I said, I want to write about the Tuskegee Airmen. And everybody started looking at, what's that? I said, wait a minute. You're the Air Force. And you don't have a book about the
Tuskegee
Airmen? They had to literally go to town, get a book, and bring it back. I was like,
wow.
I heard of pitiful, but you can't be too much pitiful than that.
Yeah, that's bad. Well, you know, we've been erased from history, a lot of history, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. now we're starting to get our get honored for things that we've done. Like, you know, I've been seeing a lot of different documentaries coming out lately about black people that have done different things throughout the years that, you know, we hadn't heard about. So, you know, it's like, oh, man, you know, I'm in my 50s. You would think I would notice, you know. But, yeah, but it's just, you know, certain things have been hidden from us or whitewashed from us to where we thought white people either did it or, you know, took credit for it.
Well, that's what
and,
they're trying to do now with our accomplishments, take us mm-hmm. out of the picture and say they did it.
Okay. Well, they've been
that
doing
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah,
well.
They've been doing that. That's nothing new.
That's one of the reasons I'm writing about our history. So that children can know who really did what. So,
right,
having
really,
the last
I mean,
2 years have really showed me, and there are so many dynamic women, black women, that, I mean, I sit in my chair and I just be awed at all, you know, at all the black women that are actually, you know, taking care of business. And, well, unfortunately, we're kind of falling behind a little bit, but I'm hoping we kick in the gear. But as I look and look at all these prosecutors, mayors,
oh yeah,
you know,
right,
black women, I was like, I didn't know that many black women existed.
We're stepping
yeah,
up.
They are so
dynamic, you know. I mean, I
and
I,
we're smart.
Yeah, always. I always thought women were always smarter than men. I don't know. It seemed like every class I was in, there's always a girl holding her hand to answer a question. And the guys just kind of step out. We'll let her take care of that one.
So what do you think about that, Mr. Coleman?
Oh,
did you
I
raise
so
your
good.
Hand or you step behind the little girl that waved? Her hand.
No, I wasn't playing that, you know. I mean, if I didn't know the answer, then she can raise her hand. I ain't trying to make a fool of myself. Half the time I was hoping they didn't call on me, you know. But no, I mean, you know, black women have been holding it down for forever.
That's true.
I mean, you know,
yeah,
even
that's
when
true.
they were taking care of white women's children. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, black women are the backbone not only of the black family, but, you know, they are substantial. And I think that, and at some point they hadn't been as big of a threat as black men had been. So I think, you know, they were able to get promoted and hold certain positions more so than black men. I think black men have always been viewed as a threat. But I think that it's been, you know, we'll allow this black woman to have so much, but stay in your place type of thing.
And we're not going to pay you what we're getting.
Well, I mean, they were, you know, I don't think white men want to pay white women
and they
that
still
either.
Not.
I mean, So it's not just a black or white thing when it comes to women equality. It's just a woman thing. You know, but when it comes to minority and minority businesses, white women are considered a minority. So they're pretty much entitled to everything black and
I've heard that they have benefited from the civil rights movement more than anyone, the white woman.
Yeah, that's true.
They have benefited more, a lot more.
That's interesting.
One thing that I wanted to say, a lot of young, this one, I never forget this black guy, young black guy, he said, listen, the way this Biden campaign, this 4 years with Biden, if it don't really pick up and take off, you're going to see a lot of young black people voting for Trump. In fact, they're going to help put him back in office. If he can run for 2024, they're going to see that. And a lot of young people, black young people, are upset that he lost. I can tell you a lot of people, my aunt was telling me she can't even go into the house where her niece is, where she can't mention Trump's name. They still feel the election, we stole the election. He was doing more for the country. He was this, and they are a damn it about it. She can't even speak about it. Because, you know, and all of this. And she grew up in the church. She don't be bothered with the church no more. The church helped to get her education, gave her $5,000. She don't care. You know, all this. I don't want it. I want this. I'm this. I'm that. You know, she's just all for Trump. A lot of people, a lot of young black people are going to put him in office. They feel that, and I have some other relatives, young people. No, they say they still say that the election was stolen from Trump. I say you out of your mind. What makes you think we got that kind of power? You know, but this is what they this is what they're in agreement with. Another
thing, black people
are not nonviolent with each other. We are not nonviolent with each other. We might call that forgiveness as far as white, but when it comes down to black on black crime, we do not forgive each other. In the family, all of us, we do not forgive each other. We will not pull together. And that's become, you see so much going on within our community.
But, you know, that disenfranchised you were talking about, you know, part of that disenfranchised was trying to destroy the black family to make sure that
that's
they
true.
Didn't stick together.
So, it's that way,
That's true.
The family.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, part of it was getting a black man out of the household, you know. And
that's
so
true.
Right.
Not only with the aid for dependent children, you know, the welfare. It started with that, and then it continued with the mass incarceration. You know, getting all these black men out the house.
That's true.
Okay, 71%. Mr. Jake said that 71% of, I heard him make a statement, I believe it's him. He said 71% of the prison population are black people in jail for nonviolent crimes.
Mm-hmm.
With
nonviolent
long
crime.
Sentences.
That's true.
Yeah, I believe
71%
that.
71% is just another way of prison making it. Beg your pardon?
I said a black kid stealing a loaf of bread to eat gets 5 to 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
Where a white person, the white person can steal $1 billion and they say, oh, well, you know.
Right.
6 months probation. Right.
Right.
Just like they did that young white boy, they told him he was too rich to go to jail. Remember that? Too rich to go to jail. My
why does that not surprise you?
Right.
That did. I thought everybody could go. I mean, I could see somebody getting him out, but not to go at all? And he killed somebody.
Yeah, they had.
Yeah,
vehicular.
I think it was his
parents.
Mm-hmm.
No,
crazy.
I think he was driving drunk and killed somebody.
No, this was a young man.
I remember.
Yeah,
that.
This young,
I can't remember that.
Yeah, this guy was young too, and they called that. The word is right on the tip of my tongue, but you know, in other words, he was spoiled, and it wasn't his fault. He didn't know.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't know any better.
Boy, I tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I'm waiting for somebody to spoil me. I've been here almost 67 years. Ain't nobody spoiled me yet.
Yeah, probably going to be another 67 more.
Oh, that's too
right.
funny. That's too mm-hmm. funny. Well, you know, I've enjoyed this show, this topic. We're talking about all these mass shootings, and most of the shootings are hurting our people.
That's true, definitely.
And you know, I know Biden went in. He thought he was going to, since he had been in Congress for, what, 50 years, he thought, and he knew everybody in there, and he knew he would kind of go easier, I think he thought. But what happened was he chose a black female to be his vice president. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that. So I think that's one of the reasons why they're turning on him. Because he only wanted one term to kind of straighten up some of the things that Trump had done, and now with all these kids being sent over to our side of the world with no parents, they sent a two-year-old and dropped them over the fence or the wall. A two-year-old. Now,
well, when you're desperate, you know, when you're desperate, you know, when those people are going to AP double whatever, you know, and when you're desperate, you can do some of anything.
But I
mean,
can't
you know,
put my child over a wall, a two-year-old. No, I can't do that. Whatever's going on, I have to keep my child with me.
It wasn't the parents that dropped him over there. It was the coyote that dropped him over there. The coyotes, which are people that the parents pay to get the kid into the United States. Now, you got to remember, probably none of those parents have ever been to the United States. So all they see is what they see on TV, they see in the movies, you know. So their idea of the United States is much, much different. You know, they think of they're dropping their kids off to a place that's got nothing but gold, that's still on TV, that everybody
but
has
you can't. It's too much sex trafficking on children. A lot of these kids, you know, they're being mistreated. Now they're trying to put all of this on Biden when Trump started this mess. At any rate, I would like to ask my speakers, if you would like to have something to say to have us to, you know, kind of hold on to it for a minute. So I'm asking my co-host, is there something you would like to leave us with?
I think it's all been said. I think that we're in some trying times right now. We just have to really rely on our faith and stay close to Jesus, you know, to get us through these hard times and get us through these racial events. And I think that, you know, he's done it before. He'll do it again.
All right. All right. So, Miss Lucy?
I'm trying to think of something. When I see Bishop Jake says, he made this statement. He says, if you really want to leave them, look at a problem that we're dealing with, like the immigration problem. How would you solve that problem? What happened with these people? How would you solve it in trying to, you know, being a help, you know, to leave a positive mark we talk about a lot of the problems. We see what's going on within the black race. We see this and that. I was talking with a brother, and he made the statement. He said, listen, a lot of times when these kids keep getting in trouble, it's because, you know, it's hard for us to defend them, is because they are doing something wrong, you know. What can we do as far as our homes are concerned with our children growing up, the educational part that keeps them out of the street and doing wrong? What can we do?
Well,
the single parent household.
A lot of times, single parent households, they have to work, and you know they may have to leave the little child with an older child.
That's
a real problem. That's a real problem because our kids are just going astray now.
There's no structure in the house.
Right, right. So
there's no structure. But you can still have structure as a single parent. One big problem we have is that everybody's in competition for what resources we do have, you know, male or female resources that we do have within the black community. And a lot of times the woman will go off to leave the children. They keep leaving the children. They don't have the grandparent sitting there, you know, anymore, because the grandparent is out there fighting for the human resources that they have in the community. You know, one of those deals. They're younger and younger, and they still feel they have a life to live. You know, you have these children, you know, all of this. And the structures, now how can, you know, what suggestions could we come up with? And I think we should all sit and try to sit and think of, what can we suggest that would help to pull our community together in those cases? What can you do? That's a big problem.
I don't know.
A lot of the young kids are getting shot and killed within the household, guns in the household.
Yes.
What can we do?
And little ones shooting little ones.
That's true.
The most horrific thing that you can have.
That's
a three-year-old
getting
a gun and shooting an 8 or 9-year-old. That's crazy.
But playing with a gun. You see guns on the television all the time. It is. All they see is guns and fighting and all of this. If they've been baptized into that, what can we do to save our own family, within our own community? If we can control our own community in a lot better, then we can somewhat handle the outside a lot better. That's the way I feel. But think
parents
of things
that you can do. Parents are
going
to have to learn how to be parents.
That's true.
Okay.
Even if you don't want to be a parent, if you had them, they're here. Okay.
That's
Thanks so much, Jenny White.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Tommy, did you want to say something before we go?
Yeah, there was a minister. I heard a minister on TV. It's been about a month or so ago. And he just said, remember, faith and mercy will take you further than anything there is. The mercy comes from where you've been in the past, how God has brought you through, and the faith is what you're expecting from God in the future. So if you can look back in your life and, you know, look at what God has already brought you through, and that'll give you the strength of when you go forward. That's mine. Faith and mercy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Well,
you guys are welcome. You know I love you all, so you can speak when you come on. And I have one thing I would like to say, that there will be many chapters in your life. Don't get lost in the one that you're in now. And with that having been said, everybody have a great weekend. Wear your mask, even if you've gotten the vaccine. Still, wear your mask, do your distancing, and wash your hands. And that's good night. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.